Today on Real Radio.
Peter says, how is it that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourselves? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it still not under your control? Why have you conceived this in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to the Holy Spirit is God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know. This collection of lessons is about the essentials of our faith, beginning with the attributes of Almighty God. And this lesson really takes a close look at that. Pastor Jack explains one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a mini-series called You Need to Know, all about God, the Holy Spirit.
Well, listen, the Bible makes it a very, very clear point that He is the Holy Spirit because there are unholy spirits out there. Demonic activity. And by the way, it's increasing in the world. And the Bible says we need to watch out and be on alert or on guard because there are many spirits out there behind doctrines of demons and false doctrines. How would we ever know what's true or false? Because as we shall learn, it is the Holy Spirit who uses the Holy Bible to speak into your life about the Holy God and what's holy true. Not what's holy true for you. Well, you know, what's true for you is not maybe true for me. That's insanity. That's humanism. He is the Holy Spirit, and He's come to give us the truth in wisdom that we might have life. And in Romans 8, verse 2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the source of our spiritual life. And so that's an important thing. The other thing is, and this is what I warned you about, don't freak out. The Bible, in very few, very rare areas, but almost always refers to the Holy Spirit in a male gender setting, that He's a male. Now, I'm not saying He's a male, like He's a man. I'm saying that God has revealed to us in our humanity that which we would understand, that the Holy Spirit has chosen to reveal Himself in the masculine. But don't panic if there's any women's liberals here and you're going to run out and freak out. Oh, my goodness. Listen, forget about that. God is simply saying, I'm strong for you. I'm mighty for you. I'll be there for you. And to prove my point, Jesus, in the second coming, when He comes back to earth, the Bible says His legs are like burning brass. His robe is dipped in blood, splattered with blood. On His thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that His hair is white like snow, and His face is brighter than the sun. And Jesus' eyes, is this kind of freaking you out about your little picture of Jesus that you had on your little Jesus making mild? When Jesus comes back, it is going to be awesome because the Bible says that when His face is seen by the world, even the sun and the moon will flee from His presence, and His eyes will be a flame of fire, and out of His mouth will go forth the word of God. And listen to this, in all this masculine talk, He's on a horse, He's coming to earth, it's like awesome! And it says, and across, listen, in the Greek, not in the English, in the English, in the New King James or whatever, it probably says, and across His chest is a golden band, you know, a sash or whatever you want to call it. In the Old King James, if you have that in Revelation, it says across His paps, P-A-P-S. If some of you are here as old as the Old King James Bible, you will begin to recognize, oh, that's a female breast. That's right. In all of this power, He's coming back in all of His glory and all the flame of fire. And it says across His breast is this band. You see, that's just kind of freaking me out right now. The word means that in all of His power, God possesses nurturing, caring, loving attributes. By the way, He's the same in the old as He is the new. God is this one and only awesome Savior and Lord. He's the Almighty God, and He manifests himself to us by the person of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. Many times in the Bible, he's referred to as the one who comforts us and leads us and guides us. And then listen, he's a person. God the Holy Spirit is. He's a person. Ezekiel 36, 27 tells us, God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This is important. And you will keep my judgments and do them. How do you hear that? Do you see God like this? I will put my spirit in you. You will keep my statutes and you will do them. Do you hear me? Is that how you hear him talk? Or do you hear him saying this? I will put my spirit in you and you will keep my judgments and you're going to do them. Why? What's the qualifier? Because his spirit is in me. Look, I can unfurl the 10 commandments. I can unfurl 10,000 commandments. You can't keep them. Go ahead and try. We've all tried already. You can't keep them. You can't do it. God says, this is how you will live the life that I will accept. It's only through my spirit being in you. And he's the one who will give you supernatural ability to walk with me, to live with me, to know me. God works in your life as a believer, not as someone who's religious, forget it, not as someone who keeps the rules and does all these things. We can't do it. God says, I'll put my spirit in you. And you'll follow me that way. That's how you'll do it. The Holy Spirit will be God, the Holy Spirit, in your life as a person. And God relates to us as you relate to one another in the familiarity of personhood. God speaks. The Bible says, and we'll see in the next few weeks, the Holy Spirit speaks. He leads us. He guides us. How do we know the will of God? We're going to find out. It's by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Do I make this decision or do I make that decision? How am I to know? The Bible's going to make that very clear. He's not a thing. And then number two, God the Holy Spirit is the Lord. I mean, this is obvious, right? But we need to hear this. You said, Jack, didn't you just mention that a few weeks ago, that God is the Lord? Yes, I did. God is the Lord. But now as we take our microscope and zoom in, we are now announcing biblically that the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Oh, by the way, the Father is the Lord and Jesus is the Lord. We don't have three lords. We have one Lord manifest in three personalities. God, the Holy Spirit, is the Lord. Note the deity of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and boy, I tell you, we don't have time to read much of this chapter, but I'll read verse 11. Before I read it, you guys remember what precedes verse 11? I mean, there's a list there of rank sinners. I mean, man, the Bible goes down the list right there and says, oh, by the way, I'm paraphrasing, of course. Oh, by the way, these are those who will not go to heaven. Remember that list? Sexually immoral, the drunkenness of fornicators, adulterers, sodomites, homosexualities, violent people, arrogant, proud, and by the time you read that, you're black and blue. And you're about ready to jump onto the train track. And then verse 11 pops up. Because who's not guilty? Come on. Verse 11, and such were some of you. I love that. And such were, whew, past tense, some of us. Read the fine print. And such really were all of us. If we didn't do it, we might have thought about it. But you were washed. How were we washed? But you were sanctified. Hey, I want to know how I was sanctified. But you were justified. Notice it's all past tense as a believer. How was I justified? In the name of our Lord Jesus. Well, that's cool. And what? By the Holy Spirit of our God. Did you hear that? Can someone say amen? Amen. Are you going to go to heaven? Yep. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit's done this to you. He has washed you. He has justified you. He has sanctified you. He has done these things. It's his work. Look, with all due respect, don't take this the wrong way. Jesus lived here 33 and a quarter years, and then he went back to heaven from where he came. The Holy Spirit, though, was sent on the day of Pentecost, and he's been here ever since. He needs a vacation in my book. I mean, the stuff that he's been putting up with when it comes to just Jack's life. He is under orders by Jesus himself to never leave me nor forsake me. How does he do that? He stays with me. He stays with you. It is the Holy Spirit that has been contending with all of our unbelief or our fear or our arrogance or our pride or our unbelief. All the stuff he goes through. Why? To bring you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, not religion. Listen, I can safely say it's the Holy Spirit who doesn't want you to join a church. If you think joining a church is going to get you into heaven, you're deceived. If you think that because you're better than somebody else on your street that you're going to go to heaven, you've not read your Bible. There is no way for you and I to get from here to heaven without one thing, and that is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because listen, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says the Bible. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to open your eyes to that reality that you and I need the salvation of Jesus Christ, which he bought. And when we come to him receiving that gift, knowing we are sinners and we need to repent, meaning we need to agree with God that we've sinned against him, Christ's salvation comes. He's the Lord. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Now listen, this is about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember them? In the book of Acts, background, the church was just getting started. Holy Spirit had been poured out. There's thousands of people getting saved in Jerusalem. The church is just plumping up, man. It's just growing. And God didn't tell them to do this. Somebody decided, hey, let's have all things in common. I mean, that was a human decision. I want you to know that. They just said, let's have all things in common. What does that mean? Well, everybody, go sell everything that you have. We'll all have it together and we'll pull from the same pot. Some form of socialism. By the way, Karl Marx used that in the book of Acts to justify communism. And so this was going on. Turned out to be later on in history, turned out to be a disaster because the church in Jerusalem began to starve to death. Literally. But while they're doing this, people were bringing forth stuff and they were liquidating, as it were, and bringing their money to the church, to the believers, to the apostles. And so everybody had everything in common. And a husband and a wife saw this happening. Now, don't ask me later, what do you think Ananias and Sapphira were saved? It depends on what time of the day you ask me. I mean, it's sometimes I think, well, they were saved, but they messed up. And that's probably true. Or were they not saved at all? I don't know. The moral of the story is don't do what they did. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, and Peter said to them, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I pause for effect. To lie to the Holy Spirit? If I listen to my Jehovah's Witness friends, it's only a force or a power like electricity. Can you lie to electricity? Peter says, how is it that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourselves while it remained? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it still not under your control? Why have you conceived this in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to the Holy Spirit is God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the governor of the church. It is the Holy Spirit at work in the church. Oh, and you can read this later. It's fantastic. They told a lie in church. They got caught out. Peter had discernment. He's figuring it out. God reveals it to him somehow. I don't know what the deal is. Doesn't matter. But boom, you've lied. And Ananias falls over dead in church. Can you imagine? Boom. Then his wife comes in. She's coming in from Nordstrom's. She had been gone. She comes in with the money. Hey, what's up? What's happening? What's going on? And Peter says, the feet of those who just carried your husband out and buried him is going to carry you out next because you've lied. Boom. She falls over dead. You say, man, that's harsh. Look, it's God's business. It's his church. But can you imagine if God did that today? Right here. So did you go fishing? Oh, man, it was awesome. I caught this fish. It was like this. Wait a minute. Ananias and Sapphira. It wasn't this big. Think about the honesty that would prevail in the church today if Ananias and Sapphira in the third row fell over dead for lying. Wow! But the point is they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. He's the Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up for us, The Holy Spirit is eternal. That's an attribute of God. He is the Lord. And then Psalm 139, verses 1 through 7. We read this regarding God, and we'll read this regarding the Holy Spirit. Pay attention, follow me closely. O Lord, says the psalmist, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? God the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Because God is omnipresent, he is the Lord. Number 3, God the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. Did you know that? I wish we could spend more time on this, but maybe we'll revisit it over the course of the weeks. One of the great jobs of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, is to point people to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully, everybody. The ministry of the Holy Spirit primarily is to, listen, point people to Christ, to give enlightenment to the believer in the Word of God, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 15, 26, Jesus said this, but when the Helper comes, that is the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, that's one of his names, the Helper, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. There is another verse regarding the Trinity. But Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to leave soon. I'm going back to heaven. But God, the Father, will send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to minister to you everything you need to know about me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said that. He's going to testify about me. That's the Holy Spirit's job. To open your eyes to who Jesus Christ is. He loves that. That's what he enjoys doing. John 6, 44. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, if you look at that verse, you're not going to find one statement or a hint about the Holy Spirit in that verse. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. But soon you're going to learn that it is none other than the Holy Spirit that, listen, if you reject his offering to have the salvation of the Son, if you reject his invitation, you are committing the one and only sin for which Jesus did not die for. What? I thought the Bible says Jesus died for all sin. He did die for all sin. All sin. Everything that you can do regarding your sin, he died for that. But there's one sin that if you persist to commit, Jesus said, and we'll see it, you will not be forgiven of that sin in this life or in the life to come. What is it? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Not accepting the invitation given by the Holy Spirit to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. This should shock in a good way some of you here today. God will not bend your arm and make you believe. What kind of a perverted freak relationship would it be if you walked up to your girlfriend or your fiance or your husband or your wife and you said to them, listen, I'm going to put hot coals of fire on the bottom of your feet until you love me. That's insane. Are you with me? Look, if you don't love me, I'll break your arm. The invitation goes out. How? By the Holy Spirit. To invite you to be forgiven and to come to Christ, to know God personally. Not join this church. Not give money, to know him. And he invites you to come. And you say, no, I don't have the time. Think about it later. And you keep doing what Pharaoh did. You keep standing in that cement, as it were, until your opinion is set. I'm not going to come to Jesus. Only God knows that, by the way. He knows. No one knows. I don't know. You don't know. But there will be a day, I hope it's nobody within the hearing of my voice, there'll be a day that someone will say, that's it, And that's their last time to say it. I am not, get away from me regarding Jesus. Little do they know, it's the last moment that God had given them. It's the last opportunity. The door shuts. And that's, listen, their rejection will never be forgiven. Oh man, where's the love of God? Are you serious? The love of God has been that he has put up with your rebellious, self-righteous, arrogant, sinful, pride, puffed face, giving your fist at God and using all of his oxygen and food and air, water, despising him all the days of your life, using his name as a curse word, and you say, where's the love of God? He put up with you for so long. What, 50 years, 80 years, 62 years, 13 years? He put up with us. The Bible says, come to him now. Come while there's yet time. It's a decision that you and you alone make, but you got to listen to him because he's been inviting you. And maybe some of you have been receiving that invitation from the Lord in life. Hardship, difficulties, sometimes goodness he uses to wake us up. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring us to Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Wow. What's the result? We cry, Abba, Father. But it's by the Holy Spirit that you come to that place. Think of the love. Think of the fellowship of the Spirit, the family of God, that God, the Holy Spirit, prompts you to know God so well that you would say to him and be happy about it, Papa. Papa, this is Jack, and I'm calling out to you. I need help. The next thing, number four, we're almost done, is all about God the Holy Spirit, is that God the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Did you know that? He's our teacher. The work of the Holy Spirit as our teacher, Jesus said it in John 16, beginning at verse 7. This is amazing. I know you've heard this verse a lot. I love it because it just, I want to see the disciples when they first heard it for the first time. I wish we could have had a camera there. Jesus says to them, imagine, they've been with him, they've seen the dead raised, lepers are cleansed, people are forgiven, they've seen miracles when they were hungry, you know, he fed them. And then he says to them in John 16, verse 7, don't you want to see their face? Nevertheless, listen up, guys. Yeah, Jesus, what's up? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Yeah, that's what we've learned to expect from you, only the truth. You are the truth. This is awesome. Yeah, what's up? It's to your advantage that I go away. Excuse me, we thought you just said that you're going to leave. Oh, that's exactly right. I'm leaving. Can you imagine? You can't. We cannot imagine. Because we've never walked with him physically like that. That Jesus would say, how's it going, you guys? It's going awesome. And Jesus, that walking on the water thing, cool. That was the best. Okay, well, that's great. Because nevertheless, in light of all that stuff, you know what's better than all that? What could be better than that? What could be better than that is me leaving.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit, a look at what Scripture has to say about the third person of the Trinity. It's a lesson that's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can catch Pastor Jack's TV program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, on YouTube? Did you know that there are a number of advantages to this? For instance, if you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, you'll be notified every time a new video is uploaded. You can easily share them with a friend or post them on your social media site. The programs are all categorized, so it's real easy to navigate by subject matter. We've also made it real easy for you to find it at our own reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And at the bottom of the page there, just click on YouTube, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.